is called glory. Glory. A tribute to God, but certainly in honor of Brother Mike this morning, because I know, I hope he'll be able to preach my funeral and not me preach his, because one of my prayers is for God to come and to come quickly. I know that he'll come when the time is right, and I don't even believe his son knoweth the hour, but one day God will say, go get my church, and right now would be just fine with me. I believe when he does come, everyone, he said in his word, would have an opportunity to either receive him or reject him. So let the day not be a day that you reject God, because no man knoweth the hour. Today, glory, God, and when Brother Mike is buried, unless the rapture comes first, you know his tombstone is going to have glory. When an exclamation? Thank you so much. You pray for me this morning. I'm hard headed. But I don't back down easy. So I could have stayed at home this morning in the bed and took a day off, but I'd rather be here with Jesus and with you. So let us go together in God's Word. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All of this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciple went, and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put them on their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before, and they followed, crying, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Pray with me. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. And God, we thank you, Lord, that we don't stand in our own power, but that we stand in the power of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you this morning for this time together. Lord, may we use it this morning to glorify and magnify the name of Jesus. And it is in His name I ask this. Amen. This morning, I want to share with you this Sunday is called Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is, of course, the Sunday that is observed the Sunday before Easter. Palm Sunday, you see here in God's Word in Matthew 21, that as Jesus came down the road on the donkey, that those who had their robes, they disrobed themselves. They took it off and they laid it across the path as he was coming into the daughter of Zion, which is Jerusalem. And as he came in, they took their robes off and they laid them down. But not only that, but there at the Mount of Olives, the palm trees were very plenteous. And they would take the branches of the palm trees and they cut them off. And the Bible says, strawed them. And you know how pine straw does in one's yard. It really just intertwines and it's woven together and it puts a real nice coverage on the ground of nothing but straw. And in this case, you can envision Jesus being on a donkey. And on a donkey, now listen, this is very important. So we had a Sunday school lesson here just a few weeks ago that was intertwined with this on how to worship. But this morning, on this Palm Sunday, this Sunday that stands before Easter, know on this day that this donkey was a donkey that had never been ridden before. Now that's a miracle. I heard a sermon here just a while back about Johnny Bullman. Johnny Bullman preached on this. And listen, if you don't think it's a miracle for Jesus to sit on a young colt, one that has never been ridden before, you go find one and try it. As he would say, you'll find yourself on a little stick of dynamite. Because they'll put you on your back, amen? Boy, that sounds like a good place to be right now. But nevertheless, we must know today that that is a miracle. Well, you go back to the Garden of Eden. Why is that such a miracle? Well, when Adam and Eve were there in the garden before sin, they were naked, the Bible says. They were not clothed. But after they had sinned and been tempted by the tempter, they give in. And when God came in the cool of the day, they were there hiding themselves. They were aware of their sin. And may God help us today. There is no one that is exempt in this place today of sin. And may God make us aware of it. That we do something about it. There again, it's not how you came this morning, but it is indeed how you leave that is important. Let us leave in the grace of God. Now that being said, here you see a vision. Can you see it with me this morning? Can you see Jesus walking, riding down this road that is covered with these palm tree branches and with the robes of those who were standing there? You also must know that the Bible says there was a multitude. There were so many people there. Why? For various reasons. But the biggest reason, the Bible says, when you make your reference to John chapter 12 and the account that John gives, that Lazarus had just been risen from the dead. And these people wanted to see how Jesus could be 4 days late but right on time. So He came, and people wanted to see not only Jesus, but they wanted to see the product of Jesus. They wanted to see Lazarus, the one who had been dead for 4 days. So they're there and they're gathered. Have you ever noticed that a congregation will come together? So many people. Let me give you an example. If, I'll use me. Lord forbid, if something were to happen to me next week. Now, I'm going to toot my horn for a minute. I know a lot of people. This church wouldn't hold all the people next week if I died and you had the funeral at this church. Now, I recommend you having it here, but it wouldn't hold it. People will come for reasons that they feel important enough to come. You know, but there again, church and coming to see Jesus is not as important as going to see someone who died. There, I don't know what's going on, but the last, I've done two funeral two weddings. Oh, I shouldn't have said those together. Hey, easy now. But Bruce and Tina Lanier got married yesterday. And that was my second wedding. I told a preacher that the other day. He said, "Brother, you know you're only supposed to have one wife." I said, "No, I performed it, not was in it." People always want to draw negative conclusions, but that there again, the first wedding that I did on Saturday, I had you married on Saturday and then I buried on Monday. The same thing happens this time again. I married on Saturday and I got to bury somebody on Monday. Maybe that's just food for thought. If you're looking to get married, maybe you want to ask Brother Mike to perform it. People are getting married and buried. But that's part of life cycle in the church. Whether we want to give it much thought this morning, it's real and maybe we should consider it. But here Jesus comes, and this is powerful. I want you to look close at verse 5 this morning. Jesus says, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the King cometh unto thee." Now listen to me this morning. We can say what we want to say, and we can believe what we want to believe. But this day had been coming a long time. And it was more than this. You tell the daughter of Zion, "And behold, the King's coming unto them, and I'm meek, and I'll be sitting on an ass, and therefore they're on." No. See, listen, this morning, sometime I catch myself trying to feed you some enthusiasm that you certainly do not have. But I'm telling you, we need to put more emphasis and more umph into the Word of God. The Word of God should jump off the page at you. But I'm going to tell you, when Jesus stood there that day, humble, He said, "You tell the daughter of Zion that the King is coming. And He'll be coming because I am the Messiah, the one that has been prophesied in the Old Testament. The ones who have waited on my arrival but have died in the process. Your forefathers that looked for this day and longed for this day has not come. But you, daughter of Zion, this generation will see the King's Son." And it's the same way with our people. How many preachers have stood up and said, "He's coming, He's coming," and are dead now? But there will be a generation, lo and behold, that the King will come. And He'll be coming to all of the world. He'll be coming to rapture His church. The same emphasis in this passage should be in the passage that we live in today, that the King is coming. Be ready. But that being said, here is Jesus. And in this day, the rapture is not on this day, but the Messiah is coming. Now, there's a diversity of people. There are some in the crowd who want to kill Him. There are some in the crowd who want to commend Him. There are some on the crowd who are taking their robes off. There are those in the crowd who are breaking branches. Because the prophesied one, the Messiah, the one who's been given the name of Jesus, the name above all names, is coming down the road. And they say that the King should not be even riding on a donkey that His hooves touch the ground. Because it's the same thing. When King Solomon was being inaugurated, same thing. They ride in on a donkey. They bring him in. Why is the donkey relevant? The donkey represents peace. If Jesus was riding in on a horse, it would mean war. And when you go to Revelations, you see that that day will come. That the daughter of Zion will see Jesus coming down the road, and He'll be on the white horse, and triumph will follow Him. But He says, that day is not today. Though you need to be aware of it, you need to live your life accordingly. He said, that is not today. You need not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. But it is today that our strength should be, and that our emphasis should be. And He said, on this day, I come on a donkey, representing peace. I come meek and mighty. He is not weak, church. And I will tell you, I've told you before, I'll tell you again, and I'll tell you again. It takes a man to serve God. It takes a woman to serve God. And there, I had it backwards so many years. I figured if I had the physical physique and I could whip anybody in my path and talk anybody down, I was a man. I was wrong. I was a boy who thought I was a man. I'm telling you, it takes a man to get up every day and say, the old man's dead. And God help me and deliver me from temptation so that those two don't come together and birth sin. That takes a man, church. That takes a woman. All you've got to do is do nothing and sin. It's a sin to do nothing. God said, obey these commandments. Don't be grievous, but be glorious about them. And there we see that the King is coming in. And the people saying, oh, here He comes. Because look at the exclamation here. Look at verse 9. They say, and the multitudes that went before and that followed cried. Now, if you look up the strong Greek word for cried here, you know what it represents? It says a raven that is croaking. This raven crying out. I'm telling you, church, these people weren't standing there like we are this morning talking about Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, friend, these people were excited about Jesus Christ coming down the road. And I'm telling you, friend, they weren't sitting there like a knot on a log. They weren't worried about anything else in their life. They were worried about the one who was coming down the road. That's the only concern they had, was Jesus. Here comes Jesus. He's the one that I'm looking for. He is the only one that I care to see. And they took their robes and broke the branches as he come down the road. And they not only did that, but they cried, the Bible says. Listen, maybe tears, but tears of joy. Because see, their refuge had came. Their Redeemer was on the way. And they knew that because they were tired of living under the rule of the Romans. And they knew that He was a Deliverer, a King, the One who had been prophesied for so long. And they cried out, Hosanna. What does Hosanna mean? Hosanna is not only a praise, but it is a prayer. It is a praise of acclamation. It is a praise of adoration. It is a praise that you say, listen, oh, hail the King, Jesus. And they meant it with all they were. It wasn't just a show. It wasn't just a stir because someone else was moving. They said, here he comes. Hosanna! 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 And it was said, deliver us! Then the Bible says in Psalms, and this is nothing more than what King David said in his passage in 118:25. It says, save now! I beseech Thee, O Lord, O Lord, I beseech Thee, send prosperity. Listen, in our lives, in all of the turmoil, we need peace and prosperity like never before. And we should be crying, even from this building this morning, Hosanna! Hosanna! Not only in a praise, but in a prayer that God come, come quickly. God deliver us from this cesspool of sin. God help us because we're on a road. Listen, this country's going to hell in a handbasket. I'm telling you, friend. And listen, everything is taking place. Listen, ain't nobody going to bail us out but Jesus. And once the country has everybody working a government job, and they're going to tell everybody who works in this country, listen, we are no longer a democracy. We're nothing more than communists. You're losing your rights. We're losing them every day. And we're going to be ruled. But all this has got to take place for the Antichrist to come. And I do believe he's been birthed. I think he's out there. He's not on the scene. No, he's not Obama. Because my understanding is the Antichrist is supposed to look good. But I'm telling you right now, I think he's out there and the stage is being set for him. Now, I am one of those believers. I'm premillennial. I believe the church will be raptured before he takes his place because I just believe the Holy Spirit will just bear witness to us who he is. And he can't deceive everybody if we know who he is. But when he takes the scene, he's going to take this country that's in turmoil, already being run by the government, communists, and he's going to bring peace, and then of course you know the story, he'll turn, and you'll take the mark of the beast, or you'll suffer. In your immortality, you will suffer. You cannot die. When the Antichrist comes and the rapture takes place, it's not only those who are taken and caught up in the air that are changed in the twinkling of an eye. But those who stay and remain also are changed. You can't die. The mortality takes on immortality. I'm telling you, friend, if we ever cried and hollered Hosanna before, it needs to be on this Palm Sunday. God, come and come quickly. I'm ready for him to step out of the clouds. Right time we say amen at the end of this time. Are you ready to meet him there? Well, they cried out not only in a prayer, but in praise. But how did they honor him? You know what I want to do with my life? You know what I want you to do with your life? I want you to honor Jesus. I want people to honor Jesus. And how do you honor Jesus? You do that being by obedient and all that. Yeah, I know. But how can we honor Jesus this morning? The only reason I came this morning is because I'm one of God's preacher boys. I got to do my job. I want to see Jesus. And I've cautioned you, church, that we stand at the brink of brilliance. But I'm going to tell you, the only way we're going to get there is for everybody in this church to turn your eyes upon Jesus and cry, Hosanna. Amen. That's a man. How do you honor Him? How do they honor Him? Look back in verse 9. And the multitudes that went before and that followed. Don't you love this here? They're surrounding Him. They went before Him and they followed Him. And crying with a loud voice and from the depths of their heart. See, this wasn't some loud mouth group of people who were rambling on. What was coming out of their mouth was fed from the very depths of their soul. And this is where they honored Him. To the Son of David. Blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You know how they honored Him here in this passage? They referred to Him as the Son of David. The lineage of a king. The Messiah was coming down the road and some thought He was a hypocrite. A lot of people didn't think He was a man of God. You think that only takes place in Jerusalem? It takes place in most churches across America. Did Moses have to work about kicking against the prick? The people never thought, and everybody wasn't together, said Moses. Moses got eaten alive on a lot of things. And the Bible went on to say, but what he was doing was what God called him to do. They should have been fussing at God and not at Moses. But I thank God for those who surrounded God's man, God's son, and cried out, Hosanna. Hosanna. Not just Hosanna, but Hosanna in the highest, verse 9 is concluded. But then we look at verse 10. And when He was come into Jerusalem, He's arrived. It says that all the city was moved. Oh, glory. You know what? There's a lot of people who don't believe and believe in just whatever you want to categorize it this morning. But I'm going to tell you what, God still moves people. He still moves. He still moves the law. He still moves the rebellion. And He removes and moves the immovable that we think. And it said here that all the city was moved, and this is what they said. Who is this? Who is this man? In verse 11, praise God. And the multitude said, and listen, this multitude is the one, when you back up to verse 9, that's in front of Him and behind Him. They're with Him. And they got His back. They're the ones who say, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of God. How can you honor Jesus this morning on Palm Sunday? First, you need to know there's nothing Jesus can't move. Turn back in your Bibles to Matthew 11, 28. Matthew 11, 28, 30, you know the text. The Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm going to share something with you this morning. I'm going to be vulnerable because I am physically, so I may as well be spiritually. I don't talk about my problems to people because my job is to take people's problems, not give people problems. That's what I've been called on this earth to do. That's part of it. But when you come into a sanctuary of God and you're hurting, whether it be physically or spiritually, you don't always feel like doing what's right. And I guess what tries my soul so hard is when you put dependency upon God. He is true. He is faithful. He's everlasting. But it's still a chore for man every day to get up and follow Him. And every week that goes by, they increasingly get more difficult because of the demand. And God has given us a way. As a church who has labored and is heavy laden to find rest. He goes on and tells us in verse 29 that we should learn of Him. He says, learn of me. And this morning, the way that we honor God is in verse 28 to come to God. In verse 29, it is to tell God. It is to come to God and to come to His feet and say, You are God and I am not. But God, I'm tired. And God, I've labored and I'm heavy laden. And this goes out to believers and non-believers. But it speaks to us and it tells us, if you are to honor God in this vessel that you call home, it will be because you've come to God and you have identified in the crowd of people and of this world that He is moving people. And that He is a God who is worthy of our cry. And it is Hosanna! Hosanna! That we call upon God in prayer and praise and we say, God, come now. I beseech Thee, God, come. Bring me what it is I need. Because God, I come to You. And listen, don't you think for one minute that when He says, take my yoke upon you, that doesn't mean that He's trying to add something else to your plate that's already full. But He's telling you that if you will come to Him, He will take that burden that you're carrying. God not only heals or looks to heal physical ability or disability, but He wants to heal the spiritual disability that lies within the hearts of those who believe and those who do not believe. He is still on that donkey. He has not got on that white horse yet. He tells us in 1 John that those who are born of God are overcomers of the world. And church, we ought not be overcome by the world when we have the one in us who's already conquered it. And I'm crying out to you this morning as your pastor. You're hurting. God wouldn't have put this message on my heart the way He has if there weren't some who here were hurting. And it's not just one. It's not just a handful. There are many, a multitude. And if you want to honor God this morning with the burden that you carry, it will be because you came to Him and you told Him all of it. How does that honor God? You say, God don't want my problems. Oh, yes, He did. He died for me. And the way you honor him, I'll give you this example, and if our musicians would go ahead and make ready invitations. There's something you do and you do well. All of us has got a gift. How does it make you feel when someone comes to you and says, hey, will you help me in this area? You feel privileged and honored to be able to use your expertise in order to help someone else. It makes you proud. You've been honored by someone's request. This morning, if you want to honor God on Palm Sunday, you come to Jesus and you tell him all about it. And you'll leave here, but the only load you'll carry will be the yoke of Jesus. And he says, learn of me. Why? Because you will find that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen to me, Christian. I care for you. And if what you're doing for God has become heavy, it's because you're carrying the burden. And he said that his burden is light. You do your part this morning by surrendering to God, and he'll do his part by lifting the load. Not giving you just rest, but the rest you so much need unto your soul.